I took oil at a place called Calvary. Just one look made the difference in me. I'll never be the same since for me stood the same. I took one look and forever I'm free. I said I'd live my life of ease with its pleasures as I pleased. I was not worthy what the future had for me. They made me look toward Calvary, where they said he hang for me. I took one look, Lord, it changed it all for me. Just one look made the difference in me. Oh, I'll never, never be the same since for me stood the shame. I took one look and forever I'm free. I didn't know I was so wrong, and I thought I'd get along without religion. It demands so much of me. But when I saw it, that bloody brow, his back, his hands, his feet, and how his side flowed crimson, and they said it was for me. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Just one look made a difference in me. Oh, I'll never, never be the same since I gazed upon that scene. I took one look and forever I'm free. You say, what would one look do at Calvary? Well, back in the Old Testament, the fiery serpents crawled in the midst. They had bit the children of Israel, and death was in the camp. And Moses cried out to God. God said, take your serpent, cast it and put it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall look upon that serpent shall live and be healed. Hallelujah. Jesus said, hundreds of years later, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In another place he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Just one look, it made a difference in me. Oh, I'll never, never be the same since for me he stood the shame. I took one look and forever I'm free. You see, if looking at the serpent, the brazen serpent on a pole, Because they obeyed God, they were healed. They lived. We've got something better to look to. We can look to the cross. The cross conquering Christ. The tomb grave conquering, hell conquering Redeemer. Hallelujah. And forever be free. Look away from yourself. Look away from your own machinations. Look away from your own efforts. Look away from your own goodness. Look away even from your own sin. And look to Him this morning. He'll do the job. He'll set you free. Hallelujah. You don't have to go one day longer in those chains that bound Rick Bradley. You can be free. I said I live my life of ease with its pleasures as I pleased. I was not worried what the future had for me. They made me look toward Calvary, where they said He hanged for me. I took one look. The Lord, it changed it all for me. Love Jesus. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Just one look made a difference in me. Oh, I'll never be the same. Since for me stood the shame, I took one look, and forever I'm free. Raise your hands and ask the Lord to have His way this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke, he said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Now that's the message that they remembered that Jesus said. And it happened just like He said. Hallelujah. There are many scriptures that prophesied that third day. Amen. In both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are many scriptures. He said, after 2 days, and they will kill Him, and the third day He will be raised up, and they were exceeding sorrowful. Matthew 17:23. Matthew 20:19. And deliver Him to the Gentiles and mock Him and scourge Him and crucify Him. And the third day He'll rise again. Mark 10:34. And they'll mock Him and scourge Him and spit on Him and kill Him. And the third day He'll rise again. Luke 18:33. They'll scourge Him and kill Him. And the third day He'll rise again. And on it goes, and it happens. Just exactly like He said. Amen. Let me read you another one. In John chapter 14. Praise God. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And folks, there are 318 promises in the Bible that promise His second coming. If He did all He said He'd do in the first coming, and it happened just like He said, verified by many witnesses, and how much more shall it happen about the second coming? The third day was their day. The third day was their hour, and they didn't even realize it was coming. They went to the tomb to embalm a dead body. They didn't go to greet a living Christ. Amen. They just couldn't grasp all He had said about His resurrection. Couldn't grasp it. Now then, 318 promises of His second coming. Every time we take communion, we show forth the Lord's death until He come. But people live like it's not going to happen. They act like it's not going to happen. They go on their careless way like it's not going to happen. But I want to tell you, that day is coming too. And it won't be long in coming. He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. In the law of compound probability, the chance that any one person would fulfill all that the Bible prophesied concerning the first coming of Christ, survey the difficulties. According to Isaiah, He'd be born of a virgin. According to Genesis, He'd be the woman's seed. Well, according to the Psalms and many other prophecies, He'd be born in Bethlehem. He would be called out of Egypt. And He would live in Nazareth and have a ministry in Galilee. Now that gets very difficult. How in the world would anybody be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, amen, be a Galilean preacher, be called out of Egypt, and at the same time be the son of David? Amen. But it happened just like He said. Amen. They traced His lineage back to David in Matthew through Joseph. In Luke, they traced His lineage back to David, amen, through Mary's line. Hallelujah. He had a double barrel fulfillment. It happened just like He said. Amen. The chance that any one man would fulfill any 10 of those promises was 1.5 million. And it would take a series of miracles because nobody had ever been born of a virgin before. Amen. It'd take a miracle. But it happened just like He said. How in the world is He going to fulfill that prophecy being born in Bethlehem and called out of Egypt? Why, an angel would tell Joseph to flee into Egypt. And Jesus would spend the days of His infancy in Egypt while His daddy worked as a carpenter. Or, amen, they spent the money that the wise men brought, amen, and gave Jesus every advantage they could while they were vagabonds and aliens in Egypt. And one day the angel spoke again, God knows how to do it, and said, you can go home now, Joseph. They are dead which sought the child's life. Praise God. He went back home, amen, and he found out that another enemy was reigning in the area of Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and so he went back to Nazareth. And Jesus became the blessed Nazarene. God knew how to do it. The natural man says it can't happen, but God said it will happen. The Bible teaches a catching away of the church. One day, just like this one, suddenly changed, transformed in the twinkling of an eye. The saints that are alive and remain are going to meet the newly resurrected dead in the air and be ushered into the presence of Christ. And the next grand event, folks, is the coming of the Lord. And it'll happen just like He said. Hallelujah. You can count on the Word of God. You can tie your boat to the Word of God. You can anchor your ship, your future, to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Because it's going to happen. Hey, cancel your doubts. Delete your unbelief. Encourage the discouraged. Doubt your doubts. Doubt your fears. But believe God's Word. It's going to happen just like He said. For it shall be, Paul said, even as it was told me. Paul became the unexpected pastor of over 200 members of a church afloat on the sea of the Mediterranean. Amen. At first he was a prisoner wearing a chain. When he told those that centurion and that ship's captain, don't leave this harbor, because you'll have a lot of harm and loss if you do. He said, who are you to be talking? You're not the boss around here. The centurion said, I'm the boss. The captain said, I'm the boss of this ship. Amen. And so they went against Paul, and amen. And they set sail, and the south wind blew softly. But hard on the heels of a south wind was the most awful storm they ever got into. They had a I think in the east they call them cyclones. In the South Pacific they call them typhoons. In the Gulf of Mexico they call them hurricanes. Amen. Boy, they had it. I think they probably had a cyclone, a hurricane, and a typhoon all into one. Amen. And for days, that ship rocked in the wind. They throwed everything overboard. Amen. You know what God was doing in the midst of that storm? He was getting them ready to listen to the man of God. They wouldn't listen before. You say, I just don't understand why all the bad things is happening in my life. I understand. God's getting you ready to listen to the man of God. I just don't see why so many things have gone in reverse in my life. I know. And let me tell you something else. You may have to throw everything and everybody about it overboard. Amen. They throwed everything overboard. Even the tackling of the ship, they threw it overboard. And Paul walked out again. And he said, if you'd have listened to me and hadn't departed from Crete, he said, you wouldn't have had this harm and loss. But he said, don't worry. Boy, I'm telling you, they was tuned in now. He said, there stood beside me this night an angel of God. And he said, there shall be not the loss of any man's life on board. I will give thee all them that sail with thee. Amen. And brother, from there on out, they knew who was in charge. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what I'd do if I were you. I'd get with a good man of God in a church somewhere, amen, that preaches righteousness and lives a holy life, and I'd stay with him through thick and thin. Amen. I'd grab a hold of him and I'd stay with him because, amen, God's going to speak to him and through him, and God's going to help you through him. Amen. And Paul said, you're going to lose the ship. And you're going to lose all the cargo. But he said, you're not going to lose a hair of anybody, any soul on board this ship. Isn't that wonderful? When God speaks. And you know what? Amen. Paul said, I believe that it shall be even as it was told me. Now that puts the prophet on the spot. When he makes a prophecy beforehand and puts himself out on a limb and everybody's watching him to see what's going to happen. Well, here they get up there on the land and, amen, they're building a fire and Paul is carrying wood and throwing it on the fire and a serpent jumped out of the flame and bit him. They knew what kind of snake it was and people didn't live long. They got one down in Guatemala, they call it seven steps. When it bites you, you got seven steps and you go down. Amen. Or down in Belize or somewhere. Amen. Seven steps. That's kind of one of them kind that bit Paul. They looked for him to fall dead. Well, there goes his prophecy. Amen. Flush that prophecy down the stream. We lost the prophet just now. Did you see him? He got snake bit. Amen. But they kept looking, and no harm came to him. Well, then they decided that, amen, the gods have come down to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. People go from one extreme to the other in their carnality. Hallelujah. But it remains this morning that when God says it, it's going to happen.